avec les prisonniers.
This is the first edition of the CLAC Convergence de lutte anticapitaliste audio series for the year 2016. As part of a series of monthly anti-capitalist commentaries, we've discussed topics such as police violence, indoctrination, or false conceptions of security or human rights. You can find previous editions of the ABCDR on our website at www.clac-montreal.net/ABCDR. Today we will be tackling the letter P to talk about recent events in Montreal, the transfer of the female prisoners in Tanguay prison to Le Claire provincial prison, and women within the prison industrial complex. As explained in previous segments, like the one on insecurity and violence, capitalism depends on the threat of criminalization and imprisonment to maintain the status quo. In a nation founded on colonialism, capitalism, and patriarchy, the threat of prison is used to confine people within these systems and to disproportionately lock up indigenous people, people of color, and poor people. Prison reflects and magnifies systemic oppression and ongoing realities of anti-black racism and settler colonialism. Besides depending materially on the incredibly cheap labor of incarcerated people, it also exploits people that have been criminalized and continues to criminalize people that are attempting to survive poverty with work that is deemed illegal, such as sex work or selling drugs.
These are some of the reasons why women, and especially Indigenous women, are the fastest growing population in Canadian prisons today. Indigenous women and girls continue to suffer the devastating impacts of colonization, from residential schools to child welfare seizures to juvenile and adult detention. Indigenous women and girls are vastly overrepresented in state institutions. Although Indigenous women make up 1-2% of the Canadian population, they make up 34% of the Canadian prison population, and too often represent the majority of the women held in maximum security prisons. This has nothing to do with a so-called increase in crime, since the quote-unquote crime rate has actually diminished. It has everything to do with racial profiling and the way that certain populations are kept in constant economic precarity. Due to the increased feminization and criminalization of poverty, we currently see a 50% increase in the imprisonment of women in the last decade in Canadian jails. 91% of the charges women are facing are connected to nonviolent, quote-unquote, property crimes, such as shoplifting or fraud, welfare fraud, or other drug-related crimes like drinking offenses, trafficking offenses, and drug offenses.
As we oppose all forms of detention, we also note that women within the prison industrial complex are amongst the most vulnerable of the prison population. They are in some ways more susceptible to abuse and violence in prison and face even harsher conditions during and after their incarceration than men. But before we begin to discuss the situation of female prisoners in Canadian prisons, we want to note that with the exception of Ontario's provincial detention system, which has recently permitted prisoners to be housed based on their self-described gender identity, all other prisons in Canada house prisoners based on their perceived sexual anatomy. That means that the majority of transgender prisoners in Canada are housed with other prisoners that do not share their gender identity. So while we discuss the particular situation of women within prisons for women, we want to note that there are currently male trans-identified and intersex people in women's prison, as well as women trans-identified and intersex people housed in men's prison.
On December 31st, women in Tanguay prison denounced their conditions of incarceration and released a list of demands. Their manifesto is online at toutedetentionpolitique.wordpress.com. The writers of the demands decry the lack of adequate food, cleaning supplies, and access to hygiene products. The women demanded access to reinsertion programs, more time on the yard, and medical care for people going through withdrawal, among other things. Instead of an improvement, these women are now facing even harsher conditions. This past February, under the pretense of austerity measures, Tanguay prison was closed down. With little media coverage or outrage from the general public, prisoners from Tanguay Women's Prison in Hunsick were transferred to Le Claire Provincial Prison, a men's institution in Laval, Quebec. Locked away from the rest of society, these women are the most directly affected by austerity cuts, and they are also the most inhibited from expressing opposition to the arbitrary violent measures of the government. A recent article in Le Devoir and multiple statements from the women inside have described the miserable conditions that they have endured since the move to Le Claire. Abuse and arbitrary detention from the administration and screws, No clean clothes or underwear since the move several weeks ago, no access to any services, and total uncertainty concerning medical care, laundry services, work programs, and therapeutic and physical activities, and how these services will be made accessible for the men and women at LeClaire in the future. The government is trying to justify the closure of Tongai with the argument that this prison, built in 1964, is too old and decrepit to remain in use. As a consequence, they have moved the women to LeClaire, a prison built in 1961 that used to be a federal institution, but which was actually closed in 2012 for the exact same reason that Tongai is closed now. The minister said in 2012 about LeClaire, quote, all the facilities are housed in aging buildings with old infrastructures that don't meet the needs of today's prisoners, end quote. But apparently, LeClaire was not too old to become a provincial prison for men, and it is not too old now to become a mixed prison, with 248 spots for women and 84 places for men. On March 19th, a demonstration in front of the LeClaire prison took place in solidarity with the prisoners inside to denounce their prison conditions and calling for the abolition of the prison industrial complex. We talked to the organizers of the demonstration, members of Toute Détention et Politique, a collective by and for people that have experienced incarceration, and their allies. According to them, the transfer is clearly a way to make cuts to services for prisoners, to close programs in the context of austerity, to balance budgets, and diminish the costs associated with women's detention. Virginie Debeau, a member of the collective, explained during Saturday's demonstration, women who are demanding better conditions for themselves in Tongai, who are now in LeClaire Provincial Prison, are an integral part of the fight against austerity. We must connect their struggles inside prison to our struggles on the outside. This evening's demonstration is held in support of their demands for the closure of all prisons and an end to patriarchal violence.
Il est clair que le transfert des détenus vers LeClaire ne sert pas les intérêts de celles-ci, des détenus, et que cette décision s'inscrit dans un exercice d'équilibre budgétaire dans la logique d'austérité imposée par le gouvernement. Le raffermissement des peines au niveau criminel imposé par le gouvernement conservateur a amené un problème de surpopulation dans la plupart des prisons, comme on sait, notamment dans les prisons pour femmes. Au moment même où le taux de criminalité était en déclin au Canada depuis le début des années 90. Il est clair que la solution n'est pas de mettre sur pied plus d'établissements ou des établissements qui ont une plus grande capacité d'accueil, comme c'est le cas de LeClaire, qui pourrait potentiellement accueillir trois fois plus de personnes dans les prochaines années. Il faudrait plutôt cesser la criminalisation des femmes des classes les plus précaires de la société. On peut penser également aux femmes en situation de migration qui reçoivent peu ou pas de support de l'extérieur de la prison, puisque leurs proches ne sont pas au pays, pour certaines d'entre elles. Elles ont parfois un accès difficile à des services juridiques dans leur langue, ce qui augmente considérablement la durée de leur détention. Il en est de même pour les femmes inuites, composant de 20 à 25 % de la population carcérale dans les prisons provinciales pour femmes du Québec, sont amenées de force à près de 2000 km de chez elles. Lors de leur détention, le retour dans leur ville où elles habitaient leur coûterait près de 3 000 $, ce qui oblige plusieurs d'entre elles à rester dans la métropole. Certaines vivront des périodes d'itinérance et de grande précarité dues à leur incarcération. Les femmes racisées vivent une surveillance particulière et plus intensive de la part des autorités policières. La riposte à des commentaires ou des comportements racistes de la part des agents et agentes leur coûtera souvent des charges criminelles supplémentaires, alors que les policiers et policières pourront continuer à travailler tranquillement sans être pénalisés d'aucune façon.
82% of women in prison are survivors of abuse and sexual violence. They are understandably wary of male guards because of their personal histories of abuse. 70% of criminalized women in Canadian correctional institutions are mothers, and 70% of them are single mothers. Prisons require special facilities in order to accommodate prisoners who are pregnant, breastfeeding, have young children, or have recently given birth. Women also have different nutritional and medical needs than the ones provided in prison. 85% of criminalized women report dealing with drug and alcohol addiction and are dealing with mental health issues. All this to show that it is clear that women need specific psychological and therapeutic resources to address trauma and prevent further criminalization once they have finished serving time. That being noted, the issues of criminalization and incarceration will not be solved through prison reform, through adapting prisons to better suit the needs of women who are caged within them. These false attempts are exemplified by reforms that were implemented in the early 2000s under the premise of, quote-unquote, creating choices. After public uproar following incidents at Kingston P4W and the Abo Inquiry, the disgustingly hypocritical and false acknowledgement of the different, quote-unquote, needs for women in prison led to a new model of female prisons following a, quote, women-centered correctional model, which would supposedly be guided by five principles like empowerment, meaningful and responsible choices, respect and dignity, supportive environment, and shared responsibility. This is clearly a flawed attempt to disguise punishment through incarceration as appropriate and suitable treatment for women that deal with trauma, addiction, abuse, and poverty.
As those struggling for prison abolition have repeatedly expressed, notion of needs are used against prisoners, and within the correctional practice of prisoners' life histories, needs and experiences, which are most often shaped by systemic oppression, are reframed as personal behavior problems. Self-injury, victimization, and mental health problems are recalculated as needs that contribute to criminality. For instance, a woman's concern for her children may be recalculated as an escape risk rather than as a normal response to separation from children. A woman's economic poverty upon release may be calculated as a risk of recidivism, presenting her as a risk to the public. The Tongay move is a symptom of the trend towards increased incarceration and punishment. In the last decade, we've seen reforms such as the enforcement of longer sentences and harsher penalties, the introduction of mandatory minimum sentences, and barriers to accessing parole and criminal record pardons. These changes, along with increased criminalization of crimes of poverty and increasing race and gender discrimination in the legal system, have created a severe problem of institutional overcrowding in Canadian prisons. Austerity and strains on resources are leading to an increase in the levels of violence in prisons, as people have fewer resources to themselves, less personal space, and fewer opportunities for support programs or recreation. Research has shown that prison overcrowding and increased rates of violence are particularly threatening to those individuals already exploited and targeted by systemic oppression, such as trans prisoners, prisoners with disabilities, prisoners with mental illnesses, who are disproportionately women, and prisoners who are Indigenous, Black, and people of color. These prisoners have reported being subjected to greater use of violence, force, segregation, and harassment within prisons. They are also less likely to access the resources they need in the form of personal care products, appropriate nutrition, or relevant services and programming while detained.
As we struggle to oppose austerity measures that have made conditions worse and that are especially targeting racialized and impoverished people, we must attack the root of the situation, which is the system of incarceration itself and the colonial capitalist state that it is designed to defend. Let's end this edition with some audio from the demo. This speech was recorded in front of the now empty provincial prison Tongay.
We are gathered here today to use the symbol of an empty jail to state again our desire to see all of the prison industrial complex collapse. As this system destroys our communities and reinforces the status quo of oppression by persecuting all that is not mentally able, white, cis, hetero, manly, rich, we understand that no demand could ever bring it down, that only active resistance can succeed in liberating us. As we are here to visualize a world without prisons and the police state that is its foundation, we invite you to start or continue thinking about alternatives that we can bring to life for truly protecting and caring for our many communities. As we do groundwork for the prison system ceasing to exist, it is important that we never forget the impact it has had on individuals, families, and communities. We are also here today to look around, to see who is among us, to connect or deepen our connections with each other, because hopefully this is what a community of folks devoted to anti-oppressive visions looks like. We'd like to thank you all for being here today and for sharing this precious moment with us.